Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. This is the post-game podcast. The Minnesota Timberwolves have won four straight games after beating the Sacramento Kings on the road on the second night of a back-to-back Monday night. Today's show is all about Jaden McDaniels. It's also an appreciation for a solid all-around offensive game for the Wolves, doing just enough defensively. A big Naz Reid moment, several moments actually in the fourth quarter. We're going to break the whole thing down here on the show. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Tuesday, everybody. And it is a victory Tuesday. The Wolves are winners of four straight and are now, I guess not technically in sole possession, but they are in sixth place in the Western Conference, tiebreakers and the whole thing. It's a good day for Wolves fans. We're going to break down the whole Wolves-Kings game here on the show today. First of all, though, a big thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, Locked On Wolves is free and available everywhere. That includes YouTube as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also watch on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. More great local sports coverage 24/7, and it's absolutely free. All the Locked On Minnesota podcasts can be found there. Again, that's the Locked On Sports Minnesota app. If you have a Roku or Amazon Fire TV, you can download it there. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and my account, which is at BBeacon, and that's with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, setting this one up, the Wolves are at Sacramento Monday night. Big win against Golden State Sunday. Close late win. Karl-Anthony Towns plays hero, but it's a big Naz Reid game. It's a really big defensive game for Minnesota, holding Golden State to just 96 points. They head up the coast. That's not true. They head, I guess, more inland from Golden State. They weren't coming from L.A. They were coming from the Bay. So they head inland a little bit in California to take on the Kings. Not a big travel night, but still a road back-to-back. Karl-Anthony Towns sits out on the second night of the back-to-back. Of course, he's only played two games since he returned from the calf injury. So, you know, I kind of speculated a little bit on the postcast with Marty after the game Sunday night that, you know, if Kat's going to miss a game, technically, all things equal, the Suns game is more important. You're also, because the Wolves do have a shot at catching Phoenix, especially now, the Kings aren't catchable at this point in the Western Conference. So you can win, you can even that tiebreaker against the Suns. And it's also not a back-to-back. So you have, you're not at a rest disadvantage there. So why not rest Cat Monday? Well, that's what the Wolves did. Anthony Edwards was questionable, but he did play. And that's kind of, you know, the setup coming into the game. So the Wolves, you know, the Kings are favored by, what was it? 2.5, 3 points, something like that over at FanDuel. So it was always going to be difficult. De'Aaron Fox coming back after missing a game due to injury. Was always going to be a difficult game for Minnesota. I mean, remember, Sacramento is number one in offensive rating league-wide. They're not a good defensive team, but they're a really dynamic offense. And yeah, the Wolves ended up giving up, 115 points in this game. We'll talk a little about the defense later. But what was most impressive to me, I've got really, I guess, three major takeaways. Let's start with Jaden McDaniels. McDaniels was atrocious on Sunday in Golden State. It was his worst game, maybe of the season, certainly his worst since the fall. We haven't had a stinker like this for McDaniels in a long time. 10 minutes played, picks up five fouls, only scores a single point, no made field goals, splits a pair of free throws towards the end of the game. You know, making two would have sealed the game. It did play good defense on those final couple of Golden State possessions, really did a good job of face guarding Steph Curry, but not a good Jaden McDaniels game Sunday. And that's an understatement saying it that way. He comes back on Monday when the Wolves really need him. No Karl-Anthony Towns. The Wolves run stuff for him early in this game. He scored the Wolves' first basket. He had a dozen points, I think, in the first quarter. Finished with 20 on the night. Led the Timberwolves in scoring. And really kind of bookended the game. Was very, very good in the first quarter. Had a solid finish to the game. A couple of big baskets late. Was actually able to play a team high. Tied with Ant for a team high. 39 minutes. Did commit five fouls. But scored 20 points on 8 of 15 shooting. McDaniels did. Had three rebounds, two assists, and two steals. No turnovers in this game for Jaden McDaniels, but it was the aggressiveness with which he played, the confidence with which he played. It looked exactly like the McDaniels that we got used to seeing for much of the past, not really week, I would even say last couple of months. I mean, this was the version of Jaden McDaniels that led everybody to believe he's a budding star and further kind of underscores that Sunday was an outlier. Sunday was just a bad night at the office for Jaden McDaniels. Monday is what we expect to see out of him. And there were some challenges defensively, not with him specifically with the Wolves, but again, an offense with De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis, and then you add in some, you know, role players. Kevin Huerter thankfully had an off night, so did Keegan Murray. But like, this is a really good, really good offense. And, you know, tough nights like this are going to happen defensively. And I'm not saying that's, you know, I'm not specifically talking about McDaniels, but the Wolves generally. And on offense, I thought McDaniels did what he needed to do in this game. And I was really happy with how he ultimately played. So big bounce back game for Jaden McDaniels. If for no other reason, like, it's a big reason the Wolves win this game, but, you know, and they only won by four. It was a close game. And he played well defensively down the stretch, I should say, but also just for his own psyche and understanding that, like, hey, I can bounce back from this. I can be, you know, more than what I was earlier this season. You know, Sunday's game wasn't who I am, like that sort of thing. Like, this was good for him for those reasons. The second thing that was so impressive in this game was the Timberwolves played a generally clean offensive game. The free throw shooting was abysmal, and I do want to talk more about that later. But in general, the offense was good. I mean, the Wolves committed only 6 turnovers in this game. I believe they only had 1 in the first half, if I'm not mistaken. Total in the game, they had 6 turnovers, 33 assists for the Wolves. Contrast that to the Kings, who committed 10 turnovers, which is not a big number, but they only had 17 assists on 39 made field goals. The Wolves assisted on 33 of 44. So 3/4 of the Timberwolves' field goal attempts were assisted on. And the Kings were 17 of 39. So what is that? I mean, that's less than half. I'm not going to do quick math beyond that. It's less than half. I can tell you that much. Something like 40 to 45%. And 75% of the Wolves' made field goals were assisted. Kyle Anderson led the way with 7 assists, only had 1 turnover. Anthony Edwards had 7, excuse me. Kyle Anderson led the way with 11 assists, only had 1 turnover. Anthony Edwards had 7 assists, only 1 turnover. Conley had 3 assists, no turnovers. Jordan McLaughlin off the bench, 4 assists, no turnovers. So those 4 guys combined were a major reason for that fantastic differential. And the Wolves didn't shoot the ball great from the perimeter. They were just 9 of 24. I mean, only shooting 24 threes is a little bit weird for the Wolves. But the Kings only made 5 threes themselves. So that wasn't where a lot of this was happening. It was a ton of trips to the free throw line for both teams. And we'll talk about that here in a minute. But the Wolves shot the ball generally well from inside the arc. They did miss some bunnies at the rim. But again, it was a clean offensive game. There were just a lot of opportunities because they only turned it over 6 times. And I thought the Wolves played really, really smart in general in this game. And that was a big reason for the win. We'll talk more about free throw shooting here in a minute. But the shot distribution, McDaniels actually tied for the team lead in field goal attempts with Anthony Edwards. They each had 15. Kyle Anderson had 10 in the starting lineup. Off the bench, Jalen Noel squeezed the trigger 11 times in just 16 minutes in classic Jalen Noel fashion. Naz Reid shot the ball 12 times. So you had 5 guys that all shot it between 10 and 15 times. Then the other 4 guys that played shot it between 2 and 9 times. And like you would expect McDaniels, Anderson, and Edwards to be the highest volume guys in the starting lineup. And really McDaniels and Edwards being the guys that kind of carried that torch in this game. And I thought shot selection was mostly pretty good. And we'll talk more about him too, but he was aggressive getting into the paint. I mean, he only shot 3 threes in this game. He shot 12 twos and was 5 of 12 on 2-point attempts. Did get to the line 8 times, didn't shoot it great when he got there. It's been an ongoing issue for Ant and for the Wolves in general, but Ant was at least more aggressive trying to get downhill than what he was in Golden State on Sunday. All right, I do want to talk free throw shooting. It's a broader ranging conversation, or I should say we should take a wider scope to this. I want to talk a little bit about some of the other individual performances and a couple of additional team stats in this one, so we'll do that here next. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to us by our friends over at FanDuel. The college basketball tournament is heating up this week, the Final Four and the championship this weekend. There's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. That's because right now, FanDuel is giving new customers a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Just go to FanDuel.com/lockedon and sign up today to claim your no sweat first bet. Then you can wager on everything from the money line to point spreads to which team will be cutting down the nets, all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Don't miss your shot at a no sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/lockedon to sign up. Make every moment more with FanDuel. All right, a couple more notes from this one. Rebounding was always going to be important in this game. I mean, it is in every game, but like the Kings are a good defensive rebounding team. They're a so-so offensive rebounding team, but still, you want to try and control the paint against a team that has Domantas Sabonis, against a team that can play physically with you. I mean, they don't have any other like individual standout offensive rebounders, but every night, rebounding is a concern for the Wolves, and they held their own. They were only a minus two on the glass, and there were a couple cheapies at the end of the game. The Wolves just kind of were trying to run out the clock and bat the ball around, and frankly, of those, 12 offensive rebounds for the Kings, I think like three were in the final minute when the game was effectively decided. So I thought the Wolves did a good job on the glass. They did lose the points in the paint battle, 60-54, but again, that was just a function of taking what the defense gave them in this game. The Wolves did a lot more damage at the free throw line, a little bit more in the mid range. It was just a weird shot distribution game for both teams. I mean, combined, the two teams only made 14 3-pointers in this game, but they combined to shoot 74 free throws. So let me say that a better way. 74 free throws combined, only 51 3-pointers combined. And it's not a ratio you're going to see very often in today's NBA. The Wolves were able to make up that difference at the free throw line and in the paint outside the arc. They made four more threes, and that was effectively the difference in this game. They also had some more timely second chance opportunities early in this game and didn't turn it over. Fast break offense for the Wolves was, you know, not incredible, but it was okay. It was there early in the game, especially. So again, I said this earlier, I think the best way to say it is that it was a well-rounded win for the Wolves. Like defensively, they still gave up 115 points. They allowed the Kings to shoot 40 free throws in this game, but the shot defense from the field was actually really good. The Kings only shot 46% from the field, 18.5% from the three-point line. Keegan Murray was 1 of 8, 1 of 6 from outside the arc. Malik Monk off the bench, 4 of 13 and 0 of 4 outside the arc. De'Aaron Fox was 10 of 20 and really got what he wanted for much of the game, got to the line 10 times, but was 1 of 6 from outside the arc. Harrison Barnes, 0 of 3 on three-point attempts. The Wolves did a great job running these guys off the line, contesting three-pointers. They weren't as in their jersey as they were with Steph and Klay on Sunday, but you don't need to do that with anybody except Steph and Klay, at least not in that fashion. So I was pleased with how the Wolves played defensively against the number one team offensive rating-wise in the entire NBA. I mean, like, scoring 115 for them isn't, like, they scored 115 while only shooting 18.5% from three, which is crazy. That's just crazy. They got to the line a bunch. And by the way, that is what they do. We didn't do a full preview here coming into this game, but the Kings are 7th in the NBA in free throw rate offensively. It's a big reason why they're number one in offensive rating. I mean, De'Aaron Fox shoots more than 6 free throws per game. Barnes and Sabonis are each over 5. But the Wolves did everything else well enough to be able to win this game. And that was really impressive in my mind. Also want to talk a little bit about the Wolves free throw shooting. I mean, the Kings were 32 of 40, 80%. Like, you'll take that every night of the week, right? The Wolves were 22 of 34 at the line. They started this game 4 of 10. Things got a little better from there, but not a lot. And again, they missed 12 free throws in this game. And I mean, you look at the Wolves' stats on the season, and they're actually now lower middle pack in terms of free throw shooting. They were 76% almost coming into the game, which is 23rd in the league. But I talked about this. It was actually like a week or a week and a half ago on the show related to the Wolves' free throw shooting issues lately as a team. Minnesota's only been better than 75% twice since the game before the All-Star break. That's 15 games. They played the Wizards right before the All-Star break. That was the last time the Wolves shot better than 75% in a game, except for, I think it was the Raptors loss a few days, a week plus ago, and then the win over, was it the Knicks win? Or it was the Hawks win, I think. So twice in the last 15 games, the Wolves shot better than 75% from the free throw line. And in this game, 64.7% Minnesota was at the line against Sacramento. Just a I don't know what to say about it. Like, the Wolves generally, and the weird thing is Rudy Gobert was 6 of 8 at the line, and he's the Wolves' worst free throw shooter of guys that actually gets to the line. He was 6 of 8. Like, you'll take that from Rudy. I mean, you'll take 75% from Rudy, who's what, 64% of the season. But Edwards was 4 of 8. Nas Reed was 2 of 4. And then McDaniels, Anderson, and Noel each missed a free throw. Nobody that shot, so did Conley. So everyone that attempted at least one free throw for the Wolves missed at least one free throw, Edwards being the biggest culprit. But it just going 1 of 2 seems to be like a plague that has followed the Wolves now for a little while. And that's, to me, like, it's one of those things that you don't worry about it game to game, because it like those things even out. Like, if you have good free throw shooters, you'll be fine. Like, getting Karl Anthony Towns back, that's going to help. He's a good free throw shooter and he gets to the line. But it is one of those things that at least feels like it's contagious, just like 3-point shooting, both positively and negatively. And if this team gets in their own head in some way about it, like, I don't know, but going into the playoffs, obviously free throw shooting is paramount when you're in play-in and hopefully playoff games. You know, so here's hoping the Wolves can figure something out when it comes to free throw shooting. Like, I don't know what else to say about it. I don't know how else to analyze it. They at least got to the line 34 times. They were attacking the basket. Now, the officials were whistle happy in this game. The Kings play generally pretty physical. So it's maybe not a surprise. But the Wolves, that's kind of their MO, is they foul a lot. They can get to the line a lot themselves if they're on their game. And that's what this game was. It felt a little disjointed at times. But again, besides the fouls, the Wolves played clean on both ends of the floor. And offensively, it was a big part of what they were doing. And again, felt clean is probably the best way to put it, or maybe well-balanced, well-rounded for the Wolves. Quick rotation note with no Karl Anthony Towns. That meant Kyle Anderson was back in the starting lineup after having that 4x5 game on Sunday off the bench. He started and played 36 minutes on the second night of a back-to-back and had 15 and 11, 4 rebounds, 2 steals. He'll come up in studs and duds, by the way. Spoiler alert. But that also meant Jalen Noel was back in the rotation off the bench. So the Wolves still played just 9. Nas led the team with minutes off the bench and actually also had 18 points, led the team in scoring until McDaniels went past him late in the fourth. And McLaughlin, Noel each played 16 minutes. Nikhil Alexander-Walker played just 10 minutes. And that was the Wolves' rotation. It was those 9 guys. So Finch continues to kind of keep those same 10-ish guys. Occasionally Austin Rivers has kind of snuck his way into the rotation, but that's kind of it moving forward as this team is, you know, hopefully, knock on wood, stays healthy moving towards the playoffs. All right, let's close the show here today by talking individual studs and duds. We're going to do that here next. All right, individual studs and duds from Wolves Kings on Monday night. Pretty, not too difficult to figure this one out. I think number one for the Wolves, I think it's got to be Nas Reed, because of not only the overall line and what he did, but a couple of other things too. One, no Karl Anthony Towns. So obviously what he did was really important. You knew he was going to get some potentially additional run. He played a little more Sunday, but that's really more because of the McDaniels foul trouble than anything else. But because of the absence of Towns, and then also the timeliness of what he did in the fourth quarter. He had that stretch where he had that massive dunk, 9.5 minutes left or so, put the Wolves up. They were up 1 because Kevin Huerter had just knocked down a 3. Reed gets the dunk. Coming back a couple possessions later, the Wolves are still up only 3, and Nas hits a straightaway 3 to put the Wolves up 6, force the Kings to call timeout. And those were Nas's last 2 baskets of the game, and they were his biggest ones. The timeliness of it, and then, of course, the overall line, 18 points and 7 of 12 shooting, 2 of 5 outside the arc, 2 of 4 at the line, 4 rebounds in 21 minutes, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block, no turnovers for Nas Reed. What he did was really important. And this, by the way, this is one of those games where the plus minus, like, it's not too volatile either direction. It was a close game. The Wolves didn't have anybody better than a plus 9, nobody worse than a minus 8. Nas actually had the worst individual plus minus on the Wolves with the minus 8, but I don't think that was indicative, given how he played, especially fourth quarter. So good game for Nas. Secondly, of course, Jaden McDaniels, 20 points, 8 of 15 shooting, did most of his scoring. I think it was 14 or 16 in the first quarter. Was fantastic early, hit a couple of big buckets late in the game. I'll just see if I could grab the exact moments when he made the, he made a basket that put the Wolves up 6 with 6.5 minutes left. And then he had that poster dunk that was almost an exclamation for the game. Not quite, but put him up 10 with just under 4 minutes to play in the game. And then he split a pair of free throws late. So he scored just 5 points in the fourth quarter, and I believe all the rest of his scoring, or I'm sorry, he scored 7 in the fourth quarter. He had a couple of free throws earlier. So that means he had, what, 13 in the first quarter, 7 in the fourth quarter, was how Jaden's game was split up. And again, timeliness for Jaden McDaniels. Finch, credit to Finch for running the first play of the game for Jaden McDaniels, and credit to McDaniels for making him look smart by doing that, getting off to a good start, having a good all-around game, playing strong defensively. I talked about this earlier, but just a really important, dare I say, vital comeback performance for Jaden McDaniels. Frankly, finding a third stud's actually pretty difficult. I'm going to try and keep it, you know, to follow my own rule here and keep it to just three. I'm going to go with Kyle Anderson because of everything that he does for this team. Kyle had 15 and 11 in this game, 5 of 10 shooting, 2 of 3 outside the arc. Seems to always make the right play. We could say this every night. I got in a bit of a soapbox about Kyle on Monday's show about his Swiss Army knife-ness and the whole adult in the room thing. Like the Wolves, it seems like, by the way, have a bunch of adults in the room now. But Kyle was great, 15 and 11 once again. Had that big 4x5 game off the bench in LA on Sunday, or excuse me, in Golden State on Sunday. And then the double-double back in the starting lineup, you know, starting at a power forward and leading the team in assists. Like, just a well-rounded Kyle Anderson performance, which is what Wolves fans have come to expect. If I could pick a fourth, it would be Rudy Gobert. 16 and 16, 4 assists, 2 blocks for Rudy. 5 of 9 shooting. Got to the line 8 times. Was a team best plus 9. And really battled. Like, there were moments that were ugly, as there are in a typical Rudy Gobert game. But there were moments of really sheer dominance as well. And he had 16 boards in this game. The Kings got, what, 11 from Trey Lyles off the bench, 10 from Domantas Sabonis. Nobody else had more than 6. The Wolves' second leading rebounder had just 5. That was Anthony Edwards. Gobert gobbled up 16 rebounds, had 4 offensive rebounds, was very active in just tipping balls around, the sort of thing that the Wolves have missed for chunks of the season. And frankly, Rudy at times has not been himself on the glass either. He's been much better lately. Was very good in this game. 16 and 16 for Rudy. A strong performance. I also want to shout out, again, more of an honorable mention, I guess, but Jalen Awell, I should have talked about this earlier in the show, frankly. He was part of that fourth quarter push. Nas, Jaden McDaniels, Jalen Awell, those were the guys. Like, Ant hit a big corner three. Conley hit some floaters, but the plays that really stand out in my mind are that 5-point Nas surge, a couple of big McDaniels buckets, the poster dunk, and then Jalen Awell was fantastic late in this game. He had a play where he missed a shot, got his own rebound after he was blocked, made the putback, made a tough shot in transition, made a big three. I guess the three was in the first half, but 14 points on 6 of 11 shooting for Jalen Awell, 4 rebounds in this game. A really strong performance in the fourth quarter, and after, you know, really being out of the rotation in Golden State, it was good to see him get back into it and play so well at the end of this one. That was really important. A dud for this game, I'm going to go Nikhil Alexander-Walker. That's a pretty easy one. He only played 10 minutes, was 0-4, 0-3 on 3-point attempts. I believe he airballed a 3 in this game. Just not a good Gnaw game, if you will, in just his 10 minutes. Not too much else to say about that. Just wasn't his best performance. It will be interesting to see, by the way, between Jalen Awell and Nikhil Alexander-Walker, who is going to see those, you know, the bulk of those kind of wing minutes off the bench for the Wolves here moving forward. Very curious to see how that shakes out. I think it's probably matchup dependent, hot hand dependent. All those things are going to play into it, but that'll be interesting to see here as we move ahead and see what Chris Finch decides to do. All right, checking back in with the standings here as we close the show today. The Wolves, after games were over on Monday night, the Timberwolves are technically in 6th place in the Western Conference. They're tied record-wise with Golden State. They are tied in the head-to-head matchup, but the Wolves lead the conference head-to-head. The Timberwolves have a 2.5 game lead in the conference schedule, conference records. So the Wolves are officially in 6th place. They're only a half game behind the Clippers, but they also have both the conference and the head-to-head against the Clippers. So if the Clippers lose their next game and the Wolves win their next game, the Wolves slide up by themselves into 5th place in the West. They would only be a half game behind Phoenix because they would have also beaten Phoenix. They also have the conference lead record-wise against Phoenix, but barely, and they would have split the season series. So the Wolves would be in fifth by themselves and a half game behind Phoenix with the tiebreaker over Phoenix for the four spot if they win on Wednesday. This is so fascinating how many things can change very quickly. The schedule lets up. The last five games are all against teams below 500. Friday, of course, against the Lakers. They're only a game under 500. But the rest of the season would then be teams below 500, except for the Nets game, I guess. The Nets are five above 500. But anyway, schedule lightens up considerably over the last week and a half of the season. Of course, the Wolves play to their competition often. So is that a good thing or a bad thing? We will find out. But first, Phoenix on Wednesday. We'll, of course, preview that on Wednesday's show. So we'll preview the matchup. We'll peek ahead at the schedule and talk about several things on Wednesday's show as we gear up for Wednesday night's game against the Suns. A big thank you to those that do make Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. Of course, this show is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms, wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find this show. You can also watch on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. And you can follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at B Beacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Of course, the Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. You can now make your second listen to Game-to-Game NBA podcast. Every moment, every performance, every result, Locked On Game-to-Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game-to-Game on Locked On NBA, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.